Hey there, audio listener. Before you get to this awesome show, you're about to hear an original song, Dr. Trump, and I want you to know that there's an accompanying music video, which is either wildly entertaining or deeply disturbing, depending on how you look at it. Go watch that over at YouTube, or of course, if you're a Mug Club member. If you're not, please join LateralWithCutter.com/mugclub or at least rate this show on iTunes, because notifications aren't working. And, you know, listen, we don't know how long we'll be here, but I appreciate you being here while it's lasted. Go check out the music video and visual accompaniments if you so please. You don't have to. Enjoy the show. Louder with Crowder Studios. Protected exclusively by Walther.
And Hopper.
It's called the How Joe Biden Sees All of the 12-Year-Olds. Kind of like when someone's been on an island and they're really hungry and you look like a hamburger. Just every single 12-year-old girl looks like they're doing this.
So oh disturbed, gosh, man.
To President Joe Biden. so I don't know. This is a horrible lead. And hey, we have Paul Joseph Watson on the show today.
Ooh, boom,
in
nice.
Third chair, we have Penn Tellis. Of course,
hello, everybody.
Where can people follow you there on the Twitter? It's a horrible Twitter.
Yeah, it's a big P4H, B-I-G.
That's terrible.
But go to PennTellisComedy.com.
PennTellisComedy, one of the funniest comedy writers out there, works with Mike Ward, who's, of course, under human rights.
Rights Tribunal for a joke there in Canada. Court of Black Garrett, how are you, sir?
What's up?
Yeah, that doesn't sound black at all. And G. Morgan Jr., what's the wine of the day?
Chateau de Beaucastel, a place I will be in a couple of short weeks.
You're actually going there.
I am
going
to go to this.
This
winery.
Is on the honeymoon,
correct?
Baby. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. If we make it out of the bedroom.
Something tells me you're not making it into the bedroom. Nope. Question of the day. She's going to be Wilma! And she's off with the bellboy. So, question. Sorry.
Talking
she's
about
lovely.
My fiance,
she's lovely. She's lovely. We're going to be talking about Brian Stelter today and more media bias kind of in the wake of the Russia story. But first, let me ask you, which CNN anchor, in your opinion, is the largest festering pile of corn-infested fecal matter? Let me know. We also have a 7+1 on Joe Biden and, like we said, Paul Joseph Watson. Let me know. Let me know before you watch the Brian Stelter segment, because I know if you comment after you watch it that we're going to be skewing the deck.
We don't want to bias you.
Yeah, it's not fair.
No.
Yeah, I don't want to show you our hand yet. Pause it, comment, then come back. Starting us off, though, is this claim that young social media influencers now are key to fighting terrorism in the Middle East. Yeah, this comes from the New York Post. According to the author, youth are authentic to one another in a way government officials, religious authorities, or parents are not. And so they're using this to fight terrorism. Okay. Leading this new crop of influencers is actually, we know, a popular YouTube personality, Sharia Laura. Ooh.
Hi guys, I'm Sharia Laura. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. This is going to be my latest unboxing and makeup tutorial, as you can see.
Hey, Laura, what's going on in here? No, damn it, make YouTube videos.
Still monetized, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, look, if you want to fight ISIS well, if you want to do a good job about this, how about just being honest about Islam? Every time somebody is honest about Islam, they get banned, they get demonetized, and they get shouted down
also,
by the left.
Also, anytime you read from cover to cover, the Green New Deal. By the way, between the covers, there's only 4 pages.
It's a quick read. Makes it easy.
Did you read it, Pantelis?
No, but I don't like his tone. The husband was sharing his culture. Let him do it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I just haven't been, woke enough yet, I guess.
Yes.
No.
Did I use
enough.
That properly? I don't even know how to use it.
Just like
word.
You'll never be woke on the honeymoon, you'll be fast asleep outside
Stop
the
it.
Bedroom.
Stop it.
But the bellboy's nowhere to be seen. In media news, BuzzFeed executives dealt a blow. Doesn't get any better. It's a slow news week. This is what you can expect in a slow news week.
Damn it.
BuzzFeed executives dealt a blow to employees, the union. This comes from a tweet, I think, from one of the members of the union. 5 minutes after the meeting with the union was scheduled to start, executives said they weren't going to show up. And, of course, they were very upset. This trended for about 4 minutes. In response, today, BuzzFeed released the top 25 employee suicide gifts you won't believe. So they seem as though...
Hey, it's almost. Is that a man on fire?
I have no idea.
I'm with the executives on this one. I wouldn't have shown up to the meeting as well. Those stupid union people at a terrible, terrible news outlet. Air quotes.
Yeah, but I mean, where else are you going to find a job unless you have a union? If you have a job
that
at
sucks.
BuzzFeed,
yes.
You need to hang on to it for dear life.
Don't piss them off. They will just fire you faster.
I wish I loved anything as much as BuzzFeed writers love doing nothing.
Though, then again, we get a lot of material from them, so maybe we do want them to stay around.
That's true. I also learned from them that the male and female sea otter hold hands. Right before he rapes her, that's actually what happens in real life. Yeah,
really?
Bites her face, claws her neck, copulates the life out of her. They don't show you that. They just show them holding hands, going down like bare necessities down a river. Otters are horrible. Not as bad as the ground owl. All right.
Let's not go back there. Okay, leave Florida in Florida.
On a lighter note, therapists have seen an increase in patients claiming to struggle with global warming. Here's a clip.
Yeah, it's not just women either. It's a lot of men, couples specifically, who are talking about all of the reasons why they will or will not have children, and now they're just considering climate change. Who's going to pay for it? They're just putting our problems now onto the future generations, and they, again, think it's morally and ethically irresponsible.
Yeah, this is something I've been thinking about for years, because even though I want my own children, and I think that would be, so much fun, there's too many people...
No, don't sterilize yourselves, said the Association of Reverse Psychologists across the old world ever. The therapists go on to say worrying about environmental problems can cause anxiety and depression across the world. Really, at this point, no one is safe. Yeah, and if you see, it's really a shame what's been happening. No. That polar bear is not, he's not depressed. He's just having a good time.
Aww.
And you invaded his privacy. It's very unnecessary. You had a point on this, Pantelis.
Yeah, why is she saying people who are depressed about climate change are more likely to be sad. If you're depressed about anything, you're going to be sad.
Yes.
Look, they went to school for years to be able to give that diagnosis. How dare you?
It seems that there's a statistical likelihood if someone is clinically depressed that they are more likely to be clinically depressed.
Yes.
Well, look, here's the thing. Can't we just all close our eyes for 11 years and change and this will just all be over? Apparently, we only have just under 12 years. So we don't need therapy anymore. Don't waste your time.
By the way, I don't know when they picked 12. That's the thing. It's just that, well, obviously we're doing away with all of the rules from An Inconvenient Truth and, you know, the bull-headed lesbian who sang the song. Who sang The Inconvenient Truth?
Was I don't know.
I always confuse them. Was it
Sinead O'Connor?
Was it Sinead O'Connor? Maybe. Inconvenient Truth. It was terrible.
It sounds like Sinead O'Connor.
I don't know. I confuse them. There's so many. Was it O'Connor? Lauper? Is it McLaughlin? I don't know.
McLaughlin.
Are those different people?
There's
somewhat interchangeable.
There's another redhead lesbian with short hair who's a singer. Who am I talking about?
I don't know.
I thought you would know this, Ben. Tell us. You seem more cultured because you're Greek. Your people created modern culture and art.
And
then it was destroyed. It was bastardized like this.
Pretty much. That's right. And then your whole country went bankrupt because they didn't want to retire at the ripe old age of 38.
But By the way, so the funniest thing about that, she said, I just don't feel like it's okay that we're passing this on to our the next generation, to our kids. I'm like, oh, but the crushing debt that you're passing on, totally fine.
Right.
That's we just won't have a planet. But they won't be able to spend
And by the way, your kids will say, airplane? What was that, Father? Come sit on my knee. Let me tell you about how we used to get around. They go up to 500 miles an hour. Oh, he's just telling tall tales. He must be talking about the light rail that only goes 220.
Grandpa.
And it smells like poop. While on the topic of people who need therapy, Scientologists, this came out, they consider Tom Cruise to be a deity.
Oh, geez.
It comes from Page Six, because that's a legitimate news source, apparently.
Yeah.
The actor is believed to be second only to David Miscavige, the savior. The savior of the free world. So please, someone crucify him.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much.
I just want to let that ride. In a twist of fate, actually, the cult's claims were actually corroborated by this recently discovered early century artwork of Closetus Phagotris. So if you see, look, they're not that far. I wanted to see how Pentelis would react.
Tom
because
Cruise's
I don't
birth name.
Yes. No, this is his binomial nomenclature.
Oh,
it's great.
Nice.
I thought you had something you were about to say there.
No, you're on your own. Totally.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were talking earlier about going clear.
Oh gosh. Oh, see, I'm so sorry. Yes. So,
jeez.
I sincerely apologize for that. It got moved around in the show.
One hell of a wedding night, Gerald.
That's true. Sorry, I've been thinking about that. Did you ever see that, by the way? Going clear.
No, I saw. Well, yes, I did. Yeah, I saw it on HBO. Yeah.
Okay, so
it's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. I had no idea there were enough of these people to have a convention, but apparently there are. They had a convention and they had brought Tom Cruise up, and they said he is responsible for saving 1 billion souls. Tom Cruise, by the way, saved 1 billion souls, pushing Scientology.
And by the way, that's just from the B Block segment of his Matt Lauer interview.
He got an award.
Matt,
who are these people?
You're glib. You don't even know what psychiatry is. If you had done the research, as I'd done the research. Really, Tom? What is psychiatry? Shit.
Aliens.
You don't know what Ritalin is. You don't know what Ritalin is. You don't know.
God.
Matt, you're glib. And I get that we're over-medicated. Yeah. So that's the problem is I won't necessarily listen to them because they're crazy Scientologists.
He stood in the chair while he was saying that. He looked over-medicated himself.
Yeah, probably.
He's like, look, I'm fine, guys. I'm fine.
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm standing up.
I didn't think the jumping on the couch was a big deal.
Studio parkour.
It didn't help his argument, okay?
I don't know. I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I just think he's crazy, period.
I just feel like he's really corny and out of touch.
He's a celebrity.
Because he's short. So, Joe Biden, you know what I mean? Like, short guys are like, hey, tall guys, can I be included? Watch me jump on a couch. Like, no.
Stop it.
I don't know. Slow News Week. So finally, Vice President, because he's earned that respect, Vice President, likely pedophile Joe Biden, issued an apology-ish for his handsy general malfeasance, blaming it all on changing cultural norms. But don't take my word for it.
But today I want to talk about just as the support and encouragement that I've made to women and some men that have made them uncomfortable.
Portrait,
I shake hands, some I hug men. People. I
show me that clip.
I grab men and women by the shoulders and say, you can do this. Now, social norms have begun to change. They've shifted.
No.
And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it.
Nipples of 14-year-olds kind of always off limits.
Always off limits.
Do you?
Shaking hands and giving hugs, by the way, never creeps people out. It's the other stuff, the whispering in the ear, the kissing on the hair. That's what creeps people out.
Just the sniffing of the hair.
Well, that's pretty bad.
That's
too.
So much creepier than kissing on
the
hair.
Yeah, that's like Hannibal Lecter kind
of
stuff.
I mean, you know how you read about displays of affection sort of in the Old Testament? You're like, well, that's a little bit weird. And then you realize that's what they did back then, like washing of the feet.
Right, yeah.
Or, for
example,
the blessing under the thigh that's basically like symbolizing generations, because it actually means under the loins, is what they're talking about. Right? But still, nothing is as weird
thigh,
as
Steven.
And then he sniffeth her hair.
And you're like, oh.
You'd be like, oh, no, they're just talking about sexual deviant.
Yeah. It was a different time.
Yeah.
Right? Social norms have changed, really, Joe? We're not talking like from the 50s to today. We're talking like 4 years ago to today.
Yeah.
Okay? We haven't moved that far.
I realized that 4 years ago, squeezing an intern's bosoms was a different world back then.
Yeah.
The good old days.
It's like, really? What are we talking about here? And everybody's response to that was like, oh, it's such a great apology. Isn't it good to see a politician just be sincere and own up to it?
I will tell you this. I do think he's sincere. I think he's completely out of it. I don't think he knows. I just don't think he's very bright. I don't think he's a rapist. I don't think he's a pedophile. But I do think that he's blaming all of his seriously creepy behavior on changing cultural norms. And that brings us to this week's 7 Plus 1.
You forgot Stefan in the chamber.
We know. We don't forget it in the chamber anymore.
No matter what we do, we can't get him.
So this week is 7 Plus 1 cultural norms that have changed over the course of Joe Biden's lifetime, as explained by Vice President Joe Biden himself. Number 7. Back in my day, there were no nanny cams.
I love this.
All right, Penn, tell us. You give us number 6.
Well, back in my day, Steven, newspapers cost a nickel, beer cost a dime, and your secretary costs 79 cents on the dollar and a pinch for good luck.
There you go. He looks like a Disney character when he does that.
Yeah.
I had a flashback to Wreck-It Ralph. Number 5, again, reasons for changing cultural norms as described by Joe Biden. When I was in college, we made out with middle schoolers all the time. Number 4, you show me a baby boomer who hasn't twisted a 9-year-old, and I'll show you a loser, said Joe Biden.
Yeah, emphasized.
Yeah, emphasized.
Said Joe Biden. Number 3, back in my day, blackface was a compliment and a turn on. You thought that maybe it was going to be more racially motivated, but then he goes back to his bread and butter. Gerald, why don't you hit us with number 2?
Back in my day, 4-foot didn't have a say.
Oh my gosh, no. Take that off. Gerald, watch your mouth.
It was on the screen.
Let's just do another. So let's do another one, number 2. Stop it, Gerald.
Move on.
Oh man.
God, what made you think that you should say that?
Did it again, didn't I?
Penn, tell us. Let's watch that taste out of our mouth. Give us number 2.
Ugh. Back in my day, they called it babysitting.
Yes, there you go. And the number 1 justification for cult, not justification, proof of changing cultural norms as described by Joe Biden. Back in my day, if an ethnic bartender complained about the environment, you'd just pinch her on the ass. There you go. And the plus one seems almost unrelated. Back in my day, Obama would have been my vice president. That's last week's 7 Plus 1.
You forgot the fan in the chamber.
He just cannot get out of his own way.
I don't understand
Joe
it.
Biden.
Yeah.
He's constantly stumbling over himself, usually to try and grope a small child. This week's trivia contest winner is Kit Blank, by the way, at I Love LUV.
Nice.
That's clever.
Congrats.
Kit, who correctly named that Planet Fitness was actually the gym where Stephanie Crowder first debuted.
Only took you one visit to get kicked out.
I think you're getting a t-shirt of your choice. Also, by the way, thank you to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for sponsoring today's show. All I can say is, of course, we give you our word. It won't change the editorial direction, creative decisions at all. But you know what? He's really bringing moderate Islam into the new world, and we're all pretty grateful to him here for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Penn, tell us. We're going to move on here today to a show. I think you're familiar with the segment, but let me give some context first. Brian Stelter.
Sorry. I just can't take him seriously.
He started yet.
It doesn't matter. It all the name alone.
Here's the thing. It's a slow. Nothing about this is going to be good.
No.
It's all accurate, but it's very off-putting.
Yeah.
much like Brian Stelter. So this is long overdue for Brian Stelter. But the past few weeks, he's really earned it with the leftist propaganda he's been pushing. And it's and even more, you know what? It's just, it's time for this week's What a Piece of Shit. That's very short. Yeah. We had to reach into the vault.
We shortened that. Yeah.
Yeah, reach into the vault to find that picture. Okay. Do you have Brian Stelter? You don't have him in Canada.
Is that what he really looks like?
Yeah, well, we're gonna have a bunch of.
That's a real person?
This is a real
person. That's amazing.
This is a real person on the news.
He has his own show.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
Okay, so reason number five, and this is what bothers me most. I know this should probably be number one, but I think it sets up the context most importantly. This guy, Brian Stelter, is constantly, and he doesn't even see how transparent it is. It's inadvertently transparent. He's not trying to be transparent, but he's accidentally transparent, in praising his own show, his own network, and he's constantly, his whole show, it's just about convincing you of his value as a media dinosaur. Here you go.
And I'm actually a defender of this cable talk show model. I'm an avid viewer of it.
Of course you are.
Because news headlines are ubiquitous these days. Our phones alert us to the news. So cable is more like a rolling talk show, letting people be a part of the daily debate about how our country should be governed and how our world should work. But here's the thing, speculation actually has value too. It helps open our eyes, helps open our minds to what's possible. I know people like to mock cable news in moments like this. It's an easy punchline, right?
Of course.
We are kind of standing by to find out what the news is going to be, waiting for AG Barr to tell us something.
Nothing.
But that does have value too.
No!
It gives you a place to go, a place to turn to. A recognition that you're not the only one who wants to know.
Go read an online article. Go home. Oh, go to the pub and get crap-faced. Anything but this!
Yes.
It adds value, too. Complete speculation devoid of facts. What a piece of shit. Brian Stelter, you use your airtime to advocate why you need the remaining portion of your airtime.
Is there anything less accurate than the initial reports of breaking news? You don't need it. You need tomorrow's news.
Wait for it.
Just wait with us.
By the way, did you know Pentelis? He's straight.
For a talking penis, though, he lacks charisma. You'd think he'd have more.
You'd think he'd be a little more whimsical.
Oh, my gosh.
Brian Stelter, you generally don't get the story right. You nearly always get it wrong, and then you double down. Don't believe me yet? Well, we're going to get to reasons 4 through 1, you piece of shit. So let's go to reason number 4. I should have had a language warning. It's bleeped, but this is designed with it in mind. But there's no other way to describe it. Jussie Smollett and Brian Stelter. And I know he's going to see this. You're welcome. He blamed the synagogue shooting. Okay, this is reason number 4. Blame the synagogue shooting on Fox News anchors.
Oh, here you go.
The ridiculousness of this rhetoric, but it is effective among some people. I sure hope some of those Fox hosts, some of those commentators, take a minute to think about their role in this environment. Hopefully there's some soul searching right now in the wake of this massacre.
What?
Oh my gosh.
By the way, I
have not seen that.
What does that have to do with asylum seekers? He's like, if we had more immigrants, they could shield the Jew. What is he talking about?
I don't know. But you will notice a trend as we go through these clips. He's the news correspondent equivalent of Christian Bale. Like, these all occur within the same year, and it's like, guesses wait, step right up, step right up. This clip's from after Thanksgiving, see? So Stelter, he argued that Fox News referred to immigrants as invaders and that this somehow drove someone to shoot, I guess, a bunch of Jews. That's what he's trying to say. Fox News is responsible for shooting Jews. Muhammad, by the way, not responsible for anyone having sex with 6-year-old girls or, you know, killing Jews, as he called for in his last words. That would be a misinterpretation of kill the Jews.
Insensitive.
That was a smear campaign.
Yes. It was definitely a smear.
It was a smear campaign from Big Hadith.
Yeah. You have to look at the original language, Stephen.
Yeah.
It still says kill the Jews.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, how about this? Call me when CNN, when you do a segment, Mr. Stelter, on how Ilhan Omar or Linda Sarsour, they're responsible for hate crimes against Jews. Let's just do that. I know people say it's not fair to compare Muhammad. Okay,
gotcha.
Current figures. But, Brian, I don't think you will. That would require you to be consistent, which you most never are, and is ironically one of the strong suits of most pieces of So it seems as though you've missed the boat even on that. By the way, hit the notification bell if you're subscribed on YouTube, because subscriptions don't mean a whole lot anymore. Also, bookmark the page because notifications may not work anymore. Let us know if you're getting them. Best thing is to join at loudwithcrowder.com/mugclub. You get the full catalog, full daily show. And, of course, subscribe on iTunes and rate us there because we might be pulled. Who knows? Okay, reason number three. This one should, I mean, I almost could just roll the clip, but let me just set it up in case, for people who are listening in the car. He pushed heaven.
Avenatti.
It's hard to get out of my mouth.
I'm embarrassed for him.
Which one, Avenatti?
Yeah, no, both.
He pushed Avenatti as a presidential candidate. Oh. Seriously, repeatedly. Here you go.
President Obama also had a lot of TV star power, and that helped him pre-Trump. But Trump is more evidence of this. And looking ahead to 2020, one reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
Really? Put a Black Garrett soundboard. Hit that. That one needs, that's a big, yeah, there you go. What a piece of shit.
I'll give him an extra one. Here we go.
There you go. That seems like a Brian Stelter one. That seems like the one that he would do. Yeah, it. And he would blame it on the dog. Yeah. But not like as a joke that's cute. Like, it's the dog. He'd be like, no, it's seriously the dog. I think we need to put it down. He would take the dog to cover up his own tracks to the vet and have the dog put down just so he wouldn't be blamed. He's with Avenatti, he's specifically only taking him seriously because of his appearances on CNN. Again, go back to reason number five. It's like, I think that you would be a great president because I want to remain employed.
And you're on my show. That means you're important. You're otherwise, you wouldn't be on my show.
All wrong. It's because he likes his hair.
There is a bit of a camaraderie there.
A little bit of, by the way, the only reason Avenatti was there was because you put him there. Avenatti was on CNN, MSNBC over 100 times in 10 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
100 times in 10 weeks. If you want to, this is kind of like what Bill Maher said. Oh, if I want to know that Trump colluded with the Russians, I just turn on my TV see yourself.
Yes, saying it.
This is like Brian Stelter saying the reason Avenatti would be great is because he's on all of the important shows. Well, which shows? My show. He's on my show. Therefore, he should be president so he could be on more shows when he's president. Which shows? My show. I think he should be on my show so he becomes president so he comes back on my show completely 100% straight. Buy it.
How delusional do you have to be, by the way, to be that? Like, to be sucking so badly in the ratings? Like, you could just look at the numbers and still think you're that important.
Well, it's because speculation is important also. Del straight.
Dead air as we wait for news about a Russia collusion case that never materialized is important.
It's super important. What were you going to say, Pantelis?
What is that go-getter Avenatti up to now? I'm curious.
Well, I'm glad he has. Actually, Avenatti, who himself is equally a piece of now been arrested for trying to extort Nike for $50 million. So I wouldn't hold my breath.
Well, that's,
exactly. He's taking one of those prison readiness classes right now.
Yes.
Here's what you do.
And when
on
he
your
went
first
in and
day.
Asked him to put his belongings in the bin, he said, wait. Yeah. Haven't you seen me on Stelter? And they said, sir, no one's seen you on Stelter.
I could have been a presidential candidate.
Yeah. But he does come in every few weeks for voluntary conjugal visits. He just wants to put a smile on their face.
Wow.
Reason number two, he blamed it at the female prisons, clearly.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, here's the thing. I know people, I'm really not just weaponizing sexuality here.
Of course.
I had my... Everyone in this room, honestly, okay, if you were to watch that, would you think the guy's straight?
I would have questions.
Well, you have the worst gaydar in the world. Pantelis.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think he was a person.
Okay, too cute, Maddie, woman. No, you wouldn't think he's straight. My wife goes, I didn't have to watch it for more than 5 seconds.
Your wife has one of the worst. I have the worst gaydar?
Yes, you have it worse than my wife.
No.
Yeah, you do.
There's a friend in the past.
You had sex with George Michael in a porta potty, and you still
he
didn't
wasn't
know.
Gay.
Confirmed. Confirmed.
He said, "Don't spoil it." Okay. Reason number two, and this one's pretty obvious. He blamed the Russia. Right. He blamed Donald Trump for the Russian collusion conspiracy. So that would seem bad enough. But here's the thing. That's actually not number two here.
Ooh.
All right. He actually blamed the conspiracy itself on Trump. Huh. So after Stelter was pushing the narrative for 2 years on his show, because speculation is super important, and then it was completely blown up. He doesn't apologize. He blames the conspiracy for being created by Trump. Here.
You're going to hear this from the right for the next days and weeks to come, that the press has basically made all of this up to take down President Trump. But the press is just following a trail that Trump created.
Does he even know what that means?
So, hold on a second. Journalists were following a trail that Trump created? What?
It led to nowhere, evidently.
Like Donald Trump, like this is like, okay, this is going to be one of the greatest tricks in political history, all right? They're going to hang this around my neck, and it's going to impede my presidency. I'm almost going to get impeached. And that's it. There's nothing more to the plan. No, no. You created the false trail, you fat piece of shit. You're the one who did it. And you blame it on Trump. Take the Steele dossier, for example. It was a fake document created by a Democrat PR firm that the media you spread. And by the way, he went on to say that the Russian collusion narrative, it was basically the entire premise of the show. By the way, named reliable sources.
Yes. Unironically.
All day. Watch this clip.
Welcome back to Reliable Sources, where every day we're trying to keep track of the drip, drip, drip of the Russia investigations.
Something else.
It's a piece of shit walking down a trail of shit, leaving shit crumbs to find his way home. I can't keep track of all the shit!
Too much.
It's just too much.
Too much.
It takes a big pair of balls to be able to come out and say, it wasn't you who did it, and keep watching this, guys, because this is going to break. I know it.
I mean, he's really trying to cut it off at the pass, and he just doesn't know how. He's
no.
Like, now, listen, they're going to say that the Russian collusion thing is not true, that it didn't happen. But these are the same people who don't believe I'm straight. Also, Donald Trump was the one who did this. Donald Trump was the one who set the trail of breadcrumbs when Roger Stone met with the Russians and sent a tweet to Julian Assange. And by the way, what was Donald Trump doing when he had Kid Rock out in American flag pants, who at one point had sex with Anderson, who happens to be friends with, again, Julian Assange? Why are you leaving? It's practically a bakery, President Trump. What? Oh, now you're going to blame me now? That's bullshit.
He needs to reinvent himself. He's got to shave it completely,
ooh,
tattoo guitars in flames, and call himself Helter Stelter. That's
what he needs to do. Whole new show.
Yeah, whole new show.
That show will suck too, though.
Yeah, obviously.
It really will.
Oh, man. All right. Reason number one. And honestly, this is like Joe Biden. They don't really need to go in this order, but just because he was also in our previous POS segment defending Jussie Smollett. Now, again, it's not just about the Jussie Smollett hate crime being exposed as a hoax.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be too reductive. We wouldn't want to be reductive when addressing Brian Stelter. Because Brian Stelter, I think of him as a nuanced issue. Mm-hmm. You know, like a bridge troll. So he claimed, like, they're not all bad.
Everybody else missed that joke.
He claimed that news organizations were really careful.
Oh.
And that it was only, so this is why, it's not just that he rushed to judgment. He claimed that the news didn't rush. It was only random people on Twitter who rushed to judgment.
There was a rush to judgment. I think it was mostly in the celebrity press and among activists and among Twitter people. I think it was a really careful reporting by news organizations.
Uh-huh.
But it all gets lumped in together at the end of the day. It all gets lumped in together in the minds of many people.
Wrong again, you piece of shit! Talking heads on CNN from Brooke Baldwin to April Ryan. I think Don Lemon. No, yes, absolutely Don Lemon. He actively helped to push the Smollett hoax. And how do you know that we're telling the truth? Because now Stelter is claiming, even today, that we may never know what happened on that fateful night.
The narrative has once again changed from victim, to villain, back to victim. It's been very confusing, as Ryan was saying. People don't know what to believe, and we may never really know what happened on the street that night in Chicago.
Well, what? I guess it remains a mystery to all of us. Signing off, good night, and I'm a piece of shit.
If this confuses him, he's confused by on and off switches.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't believe that. We may never know. Are you serious?
We may never know.
This is journalism? This is news that we're supposed to trust? This is what's in airports around the world?
I know.
Are you serious?
If people only watch news at airports,
we're screwed.
Yeah, they'd kill themselves.
No wonder they hate us.
Put this under the file of ISIS recruitment tapes.
Yes.
By the way, we may never know. Okay, let me kind of rattle off why that might not be true. Okay, the DA specifically said that Smollett was guilty. They were just letting him off because he served 16 hours of community service. We have video of the Nigerian brothers purchasing the materials used in the attack. We have the testimony that Jussie paid them. And we have the check with which he actually paid them. This story didn't have a turd in the punch bowl from the beginning. The whole punch bowl was nothing but shit.
He wrote on the memo line, fake attack. Ha ha.
Terrible criminal.
Yes.
Payable to fake checks cash.
Yes.
And they said now they're trying to say that they wore white face, so it confused him and threw him off too.
Yeah.
I was attacked by mimes. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, that's like the oldest sitcom story in the book where it's like, you know, the person is coming in dressed in disguise, only someone else wears the same disguise, and it turns out it's their mom. He's like, oh, I thought it was just some other random masked white person attacking me in the exact same method I planned it with my Nigerian brothers.
That happened in Pink Panther.
That was Pink Panther.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that. That's true.
Also, I'm pretty sure it happened on According to Jim. But everything's happened on According to Jim. They know how to blaze trails. So here's the thing. You know what? You're the Brian Stelter. You're the According to Jim of news.
Ouch, Stephen. No, that's true.
Here's what I don't understand.
It's gone too far.
CNN made this decision. The reason Brian Stelter has he gets to go out there continually advocate for his job. Right? Really, he has to. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just have a portion of his show. Watch his show. This is my challenge to you. I'm sorry, but watch his show and tell me if he goes a single segment without somehow advocating for the importance of his job. And he has to do it because of the blind spot that networks like CNN have. They have to. I don't. Please, someone tell me. Fat? Yep. Check. Talentless? Yep. Seemingly gay? Check. Uninteresting? Yep. No one will watch? Check. You have a show, sir.
How does this happen?
They he is proof positive about the blind spot of media. They actually thought his show would work. Someone lost to Brian Stelter. There was a callback. Imagine being in that room.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? There's people sitting there with their sides at the callback, and they're all everyone there, right? They're nervous, but they all feel pretty confident that he's not gonna get it. They're pointing to Stelter. And then they see him on television later that week, and they say, no s***.
And then they never tell a soul that they went out for that job. No, I didn't get to go that day. I was sick.
Did I ever tell you this story? I auditioned for a show on, it was on, I think it was on YTV. Canadians will remember this. Yeah, YTV. YTV, The Neverending Story. They did a TV show. Yeah.
So it was a great, terrible movie to watch
again. And the show was not any better. Oh. So I auditioned for this show, and I auditioned for this friend named Luke, okay? And I remember I stayed up that night. They said, we've narrowed it down to you and one other person. Thought this was going to be my big break. Never Ending Story on YTV.
It's huge.
And then they call, and it was about midnight, and they call. And my parents come into my bedroom, and they said, hey, you know, we're sorry, kid. You know, they didn't pick you. I'm like, what? Who'd they pick? And they said they were going more ethnic. Swear to God.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
On the show, it was the little Indian kid with a mustache at 10 years old. And I remember him. He was the worst. He was clearly the worst actor. We were going in and mixing and matching because we read for the different parts. And it was very embarrassing because I had told a couple of my friends that they told me I was a favorite to get it. And then they said, you didn't get it? Who got it? It's still less embarrassing than losing out to Brian Stelter. That's how bad and how much of a piece of shit I think he is. If you think I'm out of line, please let me know. We'll come back right after this with Paul Joseph Watson.
Okay. Ow. Okay, that hurts. That hurts. Ow. That's enough. Oh, Baba. Time Bomb Club, come on. There's enough now.
As we go about our days, consumed with the hustle and bustle of modern life, it's easy to forget that an evil lurks among us. An evil so sinister, we'd perhaps rather forget. The Athene cunicularia, known by its common name, the burrowing or ground owl. It lives in parts of North and South America, infesting your grasslands, deserts, and increasingly, your neighborhoods. Flying in the face of evolutionary biology, unlike his birds of prey brethren, the burrowing owl doesn't take to the skies for his hunt or habitat, but instead decides to live in the dirt. His decision to eschew all of his natural adaptive advantages as a winged animal has resulted in him taking up more real estate, which could be used for your local parks, beaches, or places of business. The burrowing owl's arrogance, as displayed by his choice to live in the dirt like a groundhog rather than one of God's majestic hunters of the heavens, is surpassed only by his boiling hot temper. What a dick. Join Mug Club at louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub and help us exterminate the ground owl today.
What do you need besides a miracle?
Guns. Lots of them.
I'm Trinity.
No, you're Pantelis.
Cut! No, in this film, he is playing Trinity.
You're Trinity.
Is that all you need?
Yeah, this is the new Walther all-steel frame Q5 match. Red dot ready. It is all I need. The all-steel Walther Q5 match. It has good balance and a 5.6-pound trigger pull. Try the Walther.
Are you doing an African dance?
I don't know.
You're really trying to make this.
This is African.
Yeah, you know, I don't know many full black men who wear lobster Hawaiian shirts.
Hey, what's wrong with lobsters, man?
There's a lot wrong with. Do you know? Actually, I think there are still laws in the book, and watch people crucify me for this. They're going to say it's a race thing, but actually, there are laws in the books. I think still in Maryland, where you can only feed slaves crustaceans a certain amount of times per week, something like 2 times per week, because it used to be considered slave food. Yeah.
That's messed up.
That's the history. I don't know why it's still on the books, but, you know, I guess they just never got rid of it.
Hey.
I also think that in Georgia, it's illegal to wear funny hats that scare children. There are very silly laws out there. I learned this on a Saturday school. It was a Saturday after school. It's not really after school because it's Saturday.
Stuff
that's
you need to know.
It was on a Canadian show called Popular Mechanics, and Alicia Cuthbert was a host on that show.
She was.
Her little sister was in my grade. She did not like me very much. But the next man I like very much, he's on the show.
Yes.
I always play a game before he comes on. It's called Guess His Haircut, because it's always changing, but his background's always the same. You know him on Twitter, at Prison Planet. He has a new website now, summit.news. Paul Joseph Watson, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Steve, and good to be back. It's been a while.
I'm glad to see you here, and now you got the new hairdo here. So either Samantha Bee will accuse you of being a Nazi, or you're the high school bully in the early 90s.
There was written 2 years ago about Eric Trump having the same hairstyle and that it was a fashy hairstyle, so I've kept it ever since.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, I feel like it was different last time. Maybe it's just freshly shorn, which is better than whenever John Kasich will get his hair cut. He looked like the baby eagle, you know, the little kind of sprout. So there's the two-week mark for men. Women don't understand these things.
I got the volume, though, Stephen. I got the volume. I'll get away with it.
Yes. So let me ask you. You did a recent video regarding, obviously, the recent. How do you pronounce Brunei? How do you pronounce it?
I say Brunei. I thought it was Brunei.
Yeah, that's probably correct. I just wanted to trick you. Just like I often say Nike, even though it's Nike. But that's because I'm mildly retarded. So everyone's been talking about them and they're stoning to death their new anti-LGBT laws. It wasn't a surprise to me, and you did a video on this about the LGBT laws in Islamic countries. People can go see it on your YouTube channel. Explain it to people who may not know the correlation.
Well, it's obvious. It's actually quite mild in Brunei, Stephen, compared to some of the other countries. For this Brunei law, you can only be stoned to death if there are 4 witnesses that see the gay sex taking place. So I guess they must have to have some kind of orgy.
Yes.
So there's quite a high bar. There's quite a high bar for it. But in other countries, the bar is a lot lower. Obviously, it takes, you know, in Islamic countries, 1 male witness to impugn women, generally speaking. But yeah, I'd made a video yesterday called Islam versus LGBT. Choose your character. Islam seems to be winning right now. But I went through the list of countries that stone or execute gay people to death. Afghanistan, Iran, Mauritania, Sudan, all roughly 93 to 99% Muslim. So I'm kind of getting some kind of correlation there, Stephen, between these Muslim majority countries and these kind of laws that they introduce.
And I would imagine the remaining 7% is the state of Utah because of those Mormons, correct?
Yeah, but what I brought into it, yeah, in fact, Nigeria is like 50% Muslim. There are some Christians there, but they also have it. But that's the lowest, is 50%.
Right.
But the correlation is this oppression Olympics war between Islam and LGBT. Because in the UK, while all this is happening, we have several schools now where it's basically 98% Muslim kids in places like Birmingham in the Midlands in the UK. where they have these LGBT curriculums, which are going to be compulsory across the entire country by 2020, mm-hmm. teaching relationship advice to children as young as five. It's not as bad as it sounds at the outset. It's basically showing them a book where a family has two mums or two dads. It's that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
you know, Christians would disagree with that. It's not literally teaching five-year-olds how to put condoms on and stuff like that, which we have that separately, by the way, but yeah. this is not that. So they've had massive protests outside all these UK schools, parents literally pulling their kids out of the schools. And obviously the progressives, the LGBT crowd, who protested Trump when he visited London, because he's obviously anti-gay, even as he wraps himself in a rainbow flag. Obviously,
yeah.
they were out on the street marching with their banners. This weekend, obviously, they're going to be marching on the embassy of Brunei. Actually, no, they said nothing whatsoever. So again, you've got this massive disconnect between the population of a country. Bear in mind, 52% of Muslims living in the UK literally want to put gay people in cages. 52% think homosexuality should be illegal. We have Sharia patrols, and even CNN reported on this, where gay people are told by Muslim gangs to leave areas because they're gay. We have acid attacks outside gay nightclubs now. And the LGBT lobby...
I think I have to fact check you there. I think you're actually confused. Acid Attack is the name of Birmingham's hippest gay nightclub. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, Stephen, because we had the first Muslim gay marriage in the UK last year. And within about 24 hours, the gay Muslim couple that got married was inundated with acid attack threats.
Yeah.
Again, from the tolerant, precious Muslim population, who the LGBT lobby rallies behind at every available opportunity. So we have this disconnect between them supporting people who literally want to throw them off buildings or at best put them in prison, meanwhile attacking the dangerous right wing, who are actually, a lot of gay people are now coming on board with the right wing because they see a common threat.
Yeah, because putting them in prison where they'll meet more radical Islamization and gay sex, that'll fix the problem. Let's put the gays in prison so there's more gayness. This is not very well thought out. No, I do wonder this, though. Do people across the pond, do they not know that President Trump was the first president sworn into office who was pro-gay marriage? Now, Barack Obama was against it. And then he was for it, and it kind of he evolved throughout his presidency. Donald Trump is the first president to ever enter into office as pro-gay marriage. Did they not know that when they were protesting him as a homophobe?
No, they don't read, Stephen. They don't read below the surface of what they're told. You know, it's like with Roe v. Wade. He said, I'm just going to leave it. And again, now he's anti-abortion. They're still whining about Mike Pence's gay conversion therapy. Meanwhile, you have literal dictatorships in the Middle East saying they're going to stone gay people to death. But, I mean, Stephen, considering what the kind of heat I get from the media, I'm actually considering converting to Islam because I've thought, why not just embrace what the media labels me at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, they call me a conspiracy theorist, despite the fact that for the past 6 years I've made videos debunking conspiracy theories, as you've seen. So, you know, belief in all kinds of wacky conspiracy theories is totally prevalent across the Muslim world. Polls show it. You know, I've been called an anti-Semite for criticizing George Soros. It's quite well known that Muslims aren't big fans of Jews. I've been called transphobic for saying that allowing men in women's bathrooms is probably going to cause problems. And, you know, in the Islamic world, you get trans people being attacked on a regular basis. In Paris yesterday, there was a case of that, a trans woman who was attacked by a group of Algerians. So, you know, believing in conspiracy theories, anti-Semitism, transphobia, if those are all really dreadful beliefs, as the media says, a lot of Muslims hold those same beliefs.
Well,
so
every
why
single...
not just convert to Muslim, own it, and join the winning team?
And we've tried to clarify, too, the difference between Islam and Muslims. So not all Muslims obviously hold all those beliefs. That being said, every single Muslim who claims to be a Muslim does believe in a conspiracy theory, and that they have to believe that the Jews subverted the Bible. They have to believe that going back to the blessing from Abraham, it was a lie because of the Jews. Farrakhan was just talking about this last week. I think we ran a clip on one of the shows where he said, that Jesus was never crucified.
said. He only came because it was not time to end the Jewish people. Something like that. I mean, I know it's kind of sounding Bill Cosby rapey, but you get my point. The entire Islamic faith is predicated on the conspiracy theory that the Jews lied about the blessing to the oldest son. And I'm amazed that we don't talk about that more. If we're going to talk about ideas and toxic religions, it's like, well, hold on a second. You know, can't we just say if we're talking about all Abrahamic religions, this is the one that says all the other guys were liars, specifically the Jews. That seems like if that's your starting off point, it could be problematic to use your terms.
No, completely. It's just the disconnect, though, Stephen. We literally have the Islamic call to prayer being broadcast in Trafalgar Square, central London now. We have, as I put in the video, left-wing progressives and LGBT groups not only going out with their banners and saying we're against Islamophobia, they literally chant Allah Akbar in major streets in major cities in Germany in front of all their LGBT friends. Meanwhile, you've got Muslims who attend these gay rallies and insult them in Arabic, call them all manner of horrific homophobic slurs. But again, you know, at the oppression Olympics table, Muslims are above gay people, so they have to align with the Muslims to fight the common enemy, which is you and I.
Yes, apparently. Well, not you anymore because you've converted to Islam. So, you know, hats off to you. That was a clever move. Good strategy on your part. How funny would it be if during the Muslim call to prayer, European gays just created a flash mob? You know, that would be a little bit distasteful. But, you know, I'd give them a slow clap. Let me ask you this. Why do you think people are surprised about this recent law, considering how many anti-gay laws there are across the Islamic world? I'll be honest. I was surprised when I read people were outraged in any capacity. Specifically, you know, in Hollywood, they were saying, let's boycott these hotels. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, so let's boycott whatever it is, you know, the Andaz Dubai. They were listing all of these opulent, expensive hotels, and I guess they expect middle America to go, well, all right, I'm not going to be staying at the Andaz Dubai anymore. They won't get another penny out of me. Why do you think people were surprised at this?
I think most people ignored it, Stephen. It wasn't a really big story. It's already disappeared. There are a few tweets, Ellen DeGeneres, etc. They're not going to go and don their pussy hats and be out in the streets, are they? It's going to disappear after a few days. But again, this is a major problem because you've got places like Paris and France where the Muslim population is now up to 8-9% minimum. Those are the official stats. You have Muslim preachers in Palestine saying, we're going to turn France into the Islamic Caliphate. We're taking over. We're having children. And the demographics just show it's happening. If you want to talk about integration, it's simply not working. You do have these no-go areas, despite the fact the media still calls them a conspiracy theory. You had, after the Paris massacre in 2015, the area of Molenbeek in Brussels, which is an Islamic no-go area, I was kicked out of it, where they hid one of the Paris massacre terrorists for weeks and weeks and weeks before he was able to be caught by police. So it's not just the Muslims who hold these extreme beliefs. It's the ones who protect the others that do. And that's why there's such a big problem with integration in Europe and why it's going downhill in a hurry.
Well, let's scale back while we're talking about integration, right? Let's scale back. Let's remove extremism from the table because that's always what people try to say. Well, there are extremists in any religion. Okay. You just mentioned, was it the stat, something like 52% of Muslims in the UK support imprisonment for gays? Was that the stat that you...
Yeah, that's the stat.
So would that be considered fringe extreme? I guess my question is, because it's a little bit different, you guys are further along the trail in the UK than here in the United States. Do English people see that as extreme? Do they say, well, hold on a second, this isn't fringe. I have a problem if 52% of people think we should imprison gay people. I have a problem if they're pulling their kids out because there's a book with two mommies or two daddies. Or is it ignored?
Well, if you look at that exact poll, that was a couple of years ago. It was a Channel 4 poll. And they surveyed the whole population. The whole population was about 10% thought that homosexuality should be illegal. But when you drill down into the Muslim population, it was 52. Mm-hmm. So it's shared by a minority of Brits, but it is a very small minority. But then you can look at other things like support for suicide bombings under certain circumstances. And it's still as high, even in Western countries, as 20-30% in some countries. And again, those are the ones who will admit to it in a poll. If you think of the ones who actually do believe that but won't admit to it in a poll for fear of reprisals or whatever, then the numbers are probably even higher. So it's a massive problem that there is a huge lack of integration, and it is mainly, again, impacting white working class people in Britain. So when these middle class leftists, who, by the way, when they get up on Twitter and virtue signal about how much they love mass migration, even in London, you can look at exactly where they live. And there are not that many large majority white areas in London left. They always choose to live in the whitest areas possible. You see the same trend in countries like Sweden. The most pro-migrant politicians live in the whitest areas possible with the least migrants. You see that across the board with all these celebrities in the United Kingdom. So it's like, as long as they can still pay their nanny like £10 an hour to look after their kids, or their cleaner £10 an hour,
right,
that's really all they care about. Then they get up on Twitter and virtue signal about it to cover themselves in glory.
That's a good point, though. That's a good point about the polls. That people, these are where people are feel comfortable answering these questions in polls. They had the same problem with women who'd been groped by Joe Biden. There wasn't a high answer rate. Final question before we go. It is summit.news. People can follow you on Twitter at Prison Planet. What's your opinion on Joe Biden? Just creepy, out of touch, changing social norms?
Well, the main story for me is not the women. That's bad enough, but it's the children. I mean, you've seen the creepy Joe Biden video probably that I put out. Either Joe Biden is just really likes children, or Joe Biden really likes children.
Yeah.
That is the disconnect that I find. The legitimate question is behind it. I showed it to a professional who works with abused children, and she basically said all the signs were there. Now, obviously, there's no evidence of anything, but it's creepy nonetheless.
Yeah.
Trump just put out a tweet about 45 minutes ago with the meme video yes. of Joe Biden creeping up behind him. Yeah. They're at an absolute meltdown over that. But let's not forget, Stephen, this was his advisor, his spokesman, Biden's spokesman, said this was created by right-wing trolls. No, it was the Washington Post in 2015 that first coined the term creepy Joe Biden. This didn't come from right-wing fever swamps.
Yeah.
It came from his public on-camera behavior, and that apology video was mealy-mouthed. It was pathetic. It wasn't an apology at all.
I thought it was hilarious. All right, that's summit.news at Prison Planet on Twitter. Mr. Paul Joseph Watson, thank you for being here, sir. I'm glad to see that you're well.
Good to be here. Thanks, Stephen.
See you soon. We'll be back after this. And now it's time for Comedy Spotlight with Bill Burr on the Ground Owl.
All right, listen, dude. Can we take a minute to fucking talk about the ground owl? Okay, listen, all right, I like animals, all right? Okay? I'm not saying that we should fucking exterminate all species. I know some environmentalists right now are gonna lose their mind. Right? You shouldn't be talking about getting rid of, that's not what I'm fucking saying, okay? Would you just hold your horses for a second? But what I am saying is, when it comes to the final solution for fucking ground owls, that was not the fucking worst idea, right? Listen, look, it's an owl. It's not a fucking flightless bird, okay? It has the gift of flight. This bird can fucking fly, and it burrows in the ground like an earthworm. What the fuck's with that, right?
LouderWithCrowderShop.com, supporting free speech since 2000 and something. With people being banned from social media left and right, you can now purchase this deplatform this limited edition LouderWithCrowderShop.com t-shirt, signifying your insubordinance to authority and request for them to kiss your ass and lick your balls. LouderWithCrowderShop.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, do yourselves a favor and join the Mug Club. Go to LouderWithCrowder.com/mug and join the club, unless you're a communist, in which case we don't need you and we don't want you. Back to you, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, they can get their ass back to Greece. It's slash mug club. It's not just mug. There's a club.
Is it slash mug club? I feel you could have gone shorter.
It's okay. Well, you know what? We could have, but we didn't really have the web developers because it's very low budget, as you clearly see by a lot of the sketches on the show. And the fact that we're importing Greek Montrealers, louderwithcrowder.com/mug club. Not only do you get hand-painted mug, you get the Daily Show, all kinds of additional content, the full Blaze catalog. And of course, if you're purchasing a firearm, we just recommend that you try the Walther because they're better. They're better. We can't say they're better than all the other firearms out there, but I think so. And they have the balls to support the show. Mug Club and Walther. There you go. You're welcome. That's my gift to the world.
We'll be right back.
That was called The Alcoholic Who Doesn't Understand the Concept of Liquidity or or gases. Because then he opened his mouth to breathe after he was upset that the alcohol poured into the water, and then he suffocated.
I was trying to climb the dominance hierarchy.
Really?
Yeah, and then I got pulled back down.
Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Quarter Black Garrett, everybody. You can follow him. Pentalis Comedy has been here. Paul Joseph Watson. Pentalis, man. So fun. The guy's funny. Yeah.
He's great.
And he's so good to have in a writer's room. Mike, he works with Mike Ward quite a bit. And by the way, you should support them at Compound Media. I think that's where they do their daily show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I believe so.
But when we were looking for some writers, you know, because I used to write this all myself for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Ward said, I can't do it. But he said this guy Pentalis is one of the few comedians who is actually very funny and very disciplined, and will be consistent and show up. And he's a joy to work with. And I used to hate that sound, the Montreal Greek sound. I hated it. And now when I hear it, it makes me homesick. You know what I mean? It's like they say you're going to miss this about me when I'm gone.
I never knew about it.
Like when my wife does something that really annoys me, she's like, "Well, that's what you're going to miss most about me when I'm gone." And she usually wins the argument with that because then I feel bad. All right, closing segment here. So. For context here, some people you may not know, we do these tough love / life advice segments on The Daily Show behind the paywall. Mug Clubbers know this, but those of you who've not joined it, letterofcredit.com/mugclub, may not. And we receive some pretty funny requests, emails, letters, and sometimes some not so funny requests.
For sure.
And this week I received one from a young man who had gone blind later in life. You remember this, and he was feeling pretty depressed, which is normal. But a portion of his first letter that he sent implied that he didn't really want to go on living, which is not normal, which is not healthy. And obviously anyone out there who's actually suicidal, even thinking about harming themselves, please do seek out the help of a professional. I recommend it actually even if you're not at that level. I think that everyone should do therapy, particularly couples counseling if you're married. But we did our best to try and help him on the show. And you know what? The advice that we provide is the same that we provide in the show week after week about setting goals for yourself, along with finding your purpose, your calling, making measurable progress toward those goals, self-improvement every day. Nothing new, not reinventing the wheel. But I received a follow-up letter this week, and I wanted to read it for you. Dear Mr. Crowder, this comes from the blind gentleman who went blind later in life. I wanted to thank you so much for the generous gesture you've done. This sounds self-praising. We sent him a mug club. It's not that big of a deal. It touched my heart and was really one of the... Okay. As a quick aside, the conservative movement has done more to help me as an othered person than the progressive movement that claims to represent me. I watched the episode in which you answered my letter, and I'm really thinking about what you said and how I can work toward it. What you said about making goals and finding my dreams really hit me. I had my dreams, but I guess I never really applied myself to achieving them because I didn't believe in myself enough. Basically, my big pie-in-the-sky dream is to be a professional musician and to be able to live off of what I'm good at, while my more grounded dream is to be as independent as possible with my own career and to live a normal life like everyone else. Again, keep in mind, he went blind, I think, at 13 years of age. Of course, the former is far less realistic than the latter, but I'm going to work towards both of them despite how difficult it may be for me. I already upload my own original music and covers to YouTube, but the way I've been treating it is not as committed as someone who would really want it. The latter dream, I've already taken steps toward applying to school to get my bachelor's degree in the fall, so I know I'll just have to not lose sight of the goal. Blind guy lose sight. I think he sees the irony there. Thank you for everything you've done, and hopefully I'll be able to improve myself in the situation with using the advice you've given me. Also, the blind jokes are hysterical to me, and I have no problem with you making them, including at my expense, because the irony of blind people using the words like see is not lost on me. I make the jokes at my own expense, so I'm fine with anyone else doing the same. Thank you, and thanks for giving me a good place to start moving forward. Sincerely, redacted, like the Mueller report. We don't want to give out people's personal name. and the reason I read this is not to even try and present like I'm some sort of sage with unique advice. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. I read this to you first because it's really touching. And if you're listening, redacted, I'm really glad that we could help if we did. I read this to show you that, you know, in our day-to-day problems, all of us are a whole lot closer to each other than you think. And so are the solutions. I mean, I know all of us were talking about this after that episode, the life advice. We were all sitting here going like, man, could you imagine going blind?
Yeah.
We're all going like, oh my gosh, that must be just incomprehensibly difficult. But you know what? There are people out there who are dealing with that who might say the same thing about something you're dealing with. Could be some other kind of a disease. Could be the loss of a loved one. And the thing is, for both of you, for all of you, the fix is still pretty much the same. Gratitude, goals, consistency, measurable progress, the things we talk about every week. I think it's also probably what connects us more strongly than anything else, meaning you, me, everyone on this team, everyone watching or listening this. And I realize that in doing these segments specifically, it's not our political affiliation. It's not a religious affiliation. Our audience is pretty evenly split among atheist libertarians, conservative Christians. We have sort of classical liberal contrarians. We have some Twitter trolls. We can see all this through our analytics. What connects all of us, I think, because it really has been a haven where people hang out, and it's been really inspiring for me to see as the audience grows. I think what connects all of us is that each and every one of you has baggage. Okay, everyone's got their thing, man. Some burdens are bigger than others, but not necessarily. Sometimes they're just different. And when I hear from you, when I see the comments, when I get letters like this, it makes me realize the bond, the kinship that we share most is that I see a group of people who are looking to improve themselves. And I see a group of people who are looking to improve themselves through truth. And you know what? It's not a truth that can be packaged in a soundbite. It's not a truth that can just be completely explained in the closing seconds of this segment. And that's because everyone, at least in this enclave, as I see it, we're all seeking to improve ourselves not through a truth, not through my truth, through the truth. And I think that's why our retention rate, we've been blessed, we've talked about this, our retention rate is so high, and we're so grateful. I think that's why when your subscription feed stops working, you hit notifications. When those stop working, you guys bookmark or you join up at Mug Club. We can see it. We can see all of this through our analytics, and I really appreciate it. And yeah, you know, when it comes to the only truthful way to self-improvement, just like we see with this gentleman who's going through unbelievable turmoil, I can't imagine going blind. But any of you, it comes back to fundamentals: gratitude, goals, consistency, measurable progress. And you know, listen, I'm not the guy who has all the answers. I don't even have most of them. I want to be really clear about this. I'm just someone here who's seeking the truth, same as you are, and I genuinely appreciate all of you doing it with me, blind or those with sight. I don't know how inspiring that is, but thanks. I appreciate it, and as long as you keep trying, so will we. See you next week.